Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Hello, good morning and welcome to the show. It's Brendan Courtney here sitting in for Oliver today. It's Friday, the 11th of July at 9:04 and 16 seconds a.m. and I'm with you until 10. How are you? Happy Friday. What a weekend it's going to be. It's a stunning morning. I had all the front door and the back door and all the doors open at sort of 5:45 this morning. It's absolutely, I love this weather. Chat to us the usual way, WhatsApp and 087 032 32 32, or text 51551. Also, you can email the show at oliver@rte.ie. We've a lovely Friday show for you today. A lot of talk about the sun and the beach. As we know, Katie Taylor will be fighting in Madison Square Gardens tonight in what could be her last ever fight. Well, Rachel Lally, the bullet from Mel Mullet, I was going to get it wrong there. That's so, it's such a dub thing to do. I apologise sincerely. The bullet from Bell Mullet. We'll look ahead to that. Friend of the show, she's going to talk to us about the incredible legacy that Katie has created for herself. Now, did you know a Talaman, fellow Talaman, I'm a Talaman, he stopped the French beret, the little roundy hat, the little fleecy French beret, he stopped it from becoming extinct. Well, his name is Mark Saunders. I think I actually know him and I'll be chatting to him very soon. And we've been hearing about the venomous weaver fish all week. It's terrifying. I've been to the beach quite a bit. Well, today we speak to a weaver sting survivor, or a Sir Weaver of the dreaded, I'm not making light of that, of the dreaded fish sting. Apparently it's super painful. She got stung by one of the weaver fish off the coast of Mayo. She's a real Sir Weaver. Sigourney Weaver. We'll call her Sigourney. No, we won't. Also, we've a guide, because of the weekend that's in it, of some of Ireland's lesser known swimming spots, inland and coastal. Now on that, in a grumpy old man kind of way, last night I booked my holidays. Woo! I booked my holidays. I'm going to Greece. August sometime. Going to Greece. I go to Greece a lot. I've done about 65 Greek islands. People are quite surprised because of, I don't know, my public profile, that I backpack. I bring one pair of hiking shoes, a little light route, and a pair of flip-flops and one pair of shorts. And I see where the wind blows me. So I'll go to Athens and then I'll take a ferry and I'll go to Idra or Aegina or wherever. And I don't book anything before I go, which really shocks people. But the idea of lesser known spots, particularly think about Greece, right? So you've got Santorini and Mykonos. I actually don't like them. I've been to, as I said, a lot of islands, nearly 70 islands. And I was very disappointed by Mykonos and Santorini because, so my travel buddy, one of my best pals, Adam, kind of, he traditionally does the planning. He's really into it, right? So I'll kind of go with the flow. And we'll pick sort of 6 or 7 islands and we know we're kind of roughly heading there. And we can change because we haven't booked anything. But I found myself standing on these stunning remote beaches. Like, we hiked once 2 hours through fields to get to this beach. I was like, okay, I've just followed along. Or I'll be on a hike on a rope bridge across a big valley. Only to look around and discover hundreds of other people with selfie sticks. Right? So I've realised they're largely influencers, and basically they've seen the same lesser known spot on TikTok or Instagram. So my travel tip is to avoid influencer promoted spots and use good old fashioned rough guide. I have a rough guide and I clip my I mean, it's obviously there's information to be garnered, but the very popular ones, which you can see the locals getting annoyed. So yeah, the actual influencer promoted ones I find are overrun now. There. And there's a lot of Italian resorts agreeing with me. Now, staying with the beach, I popped down for a little dip to Wicklow Harbour, and where I swim a lot, actually. I love it. And there was literally hundreds of kids, children in wetsuits from 4 up, all learning how to save lives. One of the adult trainers saw me and shouted over at me, "This is real Wicklow, Brendan." I was like, hundreds of kids everywhere. Children being taught first aid. So it turns out it was Wicklow Safety Swim Week for kids 4 and up. And they spent from the 30th of June to the 7th of July teaching hundreds of kids in a sort of a summer camp of swim. Isn't that gorgeous? I was really impressed. So fair play to Wicklow County Council, Wicklow Safety Swim Week. And they were like, there was little like 4-year-olds pumping the chests of their friends, and their friends were kind of coughing. Now, he's not responding, and then the kids were pumping again. It was very cute, but learning to save lives. Very, 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 very cute. And more on the beach stuff, an article that caught my attention this morning, well, actually Adam's attention this morning than the team. Kirsty Blake Knox, of the Irish Independent has compiled a list of beach etiquette, the do's and don'ts of going to the beach. Now, I've said this for years from travelling. We are traditionally not great at beach life because it's not very warm. So we'd only go a couple of times a year. And now since things have changed and we're all sea dippers, we're getting much better at it. But we're not keeping up with the recommendations that Kirsty has in her list. Okay, so she's saying the do's and don'ts of going to the beach this weekend is going to be really warm. She's saying get in the water sooner rather than later. The benefits to this are twofold. It prevents others from asking, are you getting in yet? Are you getting in yet? You're like, mind your own business. And added to the bonus that it cools the togs, keeps your core temperature down on these hot days. It's a must. And I have the best piece of advice I've ever heard was a woman shouted up at me as I was like gingerly trying to get into the water. It's not going to get any warmer. And every time I get into the sea now, I always think it's not going to get any warmer. Just get in. And if you go for a swim, don't be putting pressure on other people to go in too. That's not me saying this. I love putting pressure on people because I'm the guy that marches in first. I'm the hero. And my sister's always like, look at that fool. Leave them alone. If they don't want to get in, don't bully them. Don't judge the dry robe brigade. I have a friend, I'm going to say her name, Julie, you know who you are, I won't say her surname, who said to me unequivocally, if you wear a dry robe, I will not go swimming with you. And so I have a dry robe because they're really practical. It's hidden in my car. Julie's never seen it because I use my toweling changing robe instead. Equally, do not look in the direction, this is Kirsty reminding us, do not look in the direction of someone who is awkwardly trying to get dressed under a small towel and is accidentally flashing anyone. We will add here, actually, bring a big towel to get dressed under. Don't be that person. It's creepy. Also, bring all your rubbish home with you. We will add here onto Kirsty's recommendation. Actually, don't step over rubbish. If you see rubbish, pick it up. We've mentioned this before. Like, one of the most bizarre social behaviours I've ever encountered is people who pick up their dog poo, put it in a bag, tie it, and then leave the bag on the beach. Like, what is that about? I know, like, blue flag beaches do not allow dogs between 10 and 6, and we just did research there. It's because the dog urine and the dog poo is actually affecting the quality of the water, so it makes sense. But if you're, you know, if you're on a beach, pick up the poo. What do you think? What are your bugbears of beach behaviour? When you get to the beach, do not go down in front of other people who are closer to the water and then pop up your big tent. Look around and try and avoid blocking other people's views of the sea. Simple things. Also, be careful where you park your car. Big one. I mean, I know where I swim in Wicklow, they're out in their droves, giving tickets. If you're illegally parked or blocking someone's driveway or blocking someone in, you'll get a ticket. So don't squeeze it in and only barely leave enough room for passing traffic. You'll cause a blockage all day and slow traffic down. And it'll take you longer to get to the beach, but you'll find space. Do it. And this one is a current bugbear of mine across the board. Don't bring your speaker and play loud music. We don't all enjoy listening to Jay-Z at 9 on a Saturday morning. Now, where do you stand on that? Do you have any bugbear? Do people do things that you see on the beach that you'd rather just shout out to the nation and warn them to not do? A text 51551. I'd love to hear what the do's and don'ts. Or some do's, maybe. Do's and don'ts. I mentioned before, my favourite family photograph is us all on Bray Seafront and we'd no togs, so we were all just sitting in our pants. I think I was about 7 or 8. And my grandmother is sitting behind a little tiny camp, you know, gas stove with a huge proper ham-sized pot boiling potatoes on the beach because that was our day out. Now, speaking of sounds or music in public, there's two stories in the papers. First, that the band that just can't stay out of the headlines, Oasis, it's the drama, the trauma, the whole thing about it is really interesting to behold. Well, ahead of the band's Manchester gigs, starting tonight in Heaton Park, Liam Gallagher has taken on a new job as the tram announcer. Get you all buzzed up on your way into the venue. There's only going to be 4 different tram stop announcements voiced by Liam Gallagher, and they'll be played at the gig venue on all concert dates. This is what it sounds like. Have a listen to this.
The next stop is Eaton Park. Come on, move it.
Eaton Park. That is quite funny, isn't it? And staying with sounds in public, another story we came across this morning is Heathrow Airport, the busiest airport in the world. And actually, I have to say, Dublin Airport Terminal 2 to Dublin Airport to Heathrow Airport Terminal 2 is a divine experience. T2 to T2, the only way to travel. They're having a go at sounds for travel. They have commissioned a new mood matching, inverted commas, sound mix to play across the airport grounds. So from arrival gates to the weird hallway that you walk for just long enough to where you're going the wrong way, the recording is going to be looped seamlessly and played on repeat. Okay, why? It's all about excitement and stopping anxiety, they tell us. The unavoidable ASMR, you'll have to Google that, is meant to ease the pre-takeoff nerves, but also to make sure that you keep the buzz that comes with the excitement and anticipation of travel wherever you are in Heathrow. Now, I have to say, there's two types of travellers, and I am often one or the other. There's a business traveller who wants everybody to get out of the way and put their children in a basket. And then there's the holiday traveller who just doesn't care. And I can be either one of those. So I think I've always said you should have, you should separate business travellers, because they're grumpy. They're going to work the longest, you know, possibly the longest commute to work. And then you've got the holiday revelers. So you've got people in two different kind of moods, right? So this thing, this sound that they're going to be piping into across the entire airport, okay? You won't be able to get away from it. Do you want to have a little, listen to it? I mean, that just sounds like a headache, doesn't it? Oh, it's mixed in a little, there's a little bit of, sort of, sounds underworldy. Sounds like the start of a Fatboy Slim set. It's going to kick in then. Anyway, yeah, well, I'll report back if I travel through Heathrow and hear that sound. I just want to give a shout out. I did the Ackle Half Marathon last week. I did the 10K, in case anybody tries to correct me. I didn't do the real race, as that was pointed out to me a couple of times. But I met a wonderful woman, Avril, and her pals, and they asked me to shout good luck to them taking part in the Kilchie Come Home Festival Race to Glory in Kilchima tomorrow. So the event is in its 15th year and it's a really magical day out, and they were very excited. These women do these runs. I think they're similar vintage to myself, and they have two runs, Race to Glory, where you can do sort of a lower pace one, which is a shorter run, a shorter cycle, and then you do a longer run. So it's actually really inclusive. And they have loads of things going on in Kilchima tonight. The West is awake in Kilchima from the 9th to the 14th. So thanks. And I promise I'd shout you out, and have a great night tonight in Kilchima. Oh, speaking of superstar musicians, Bob Dylan has announced he's going to be playing 5 gigs on the island of Ireland in November, 2 in Belfast, 2 in Kerry, and 1 in Dublin. Very interesting. But what caught my attention, I have no desire or interest in seeing Bob Dylan, although maybe you should go and see him, actually, because it might be his last tour. No, not really. Okay, but he's 84. I mean, it's kind of impressive, right? And he has a long-standing dislike of people using phones at their gigs. You know, that I've, and as phones and smart things started to happen over the years, I was often at a gig and someone would be holding up an iPad, like a proper size iPad, recording it, and you'd have to ask them to put it down. So in 2019, Dylan stopped a gig in Austria mid-song, saying to the audience, "Take pictures or don't take pictures. We can either play or we can pose, okay?" So he's going to be taking people's iPhones off them and locking them in a pouch on the way into the gig. And that's going to be a lot of people at that gig. That's a lot of pouches, right? So do you like surrendering your phone? I have to say, I love it. I love it. We all have an addiction to our phones. It's kind of shocking. I lost my phone in New York a little while ago, and last year sometime it was. And I was kind of, I was in a big city and I didn't have my phone. And all of a sudden, I felt so liberated. I didn't have to talk to anyone. And I kind of like when they close the door on the airplane, and I hate when they have Wi-Fi now. And you just, that's it. You just have to sit back, eat and watch a movie. Love that. So how do you feel about surrendering your phone? But then again, if it's Dylan's last tour, you probably would like to capture some of it, wouldn't you, as well? Just ask your teenagers anyway, because they always have burner phones going into school, don't they? So bring a burner phone. I didn't say that. It's always his last tour, it says here. In 92, he'll be going into his next tour, definitely. I had a whole piece about the Birkin bag. The Birkin handbag, I'm just going to very quickly tell you. Yesterday, the original Birkin handbag, which is an Hermes, which is a French brand, I'm sure you've heard of, they have this amazing Birkin bag. The original one, owned by Jane Birkin herself, was designed for her by Hermes, sold yesterday for €8.5 million for a handbag. Yeah, put your tea down, don't collapse. It's just ridiculous money. I mean, I was asked how I feel about that. Now, of course, it's the original of a species, but it is definitely flashy, right? It's not a piece of art. It's not a functioning object. It's a handbag. Oh, careful. Of course it's a functioning object. How dare I? But let's be honest. So who's buying it? We were speculating. We're looking at the speculation online that maybe the new Mrs. Bezos is buying it, that whore of Amazon royalty. She was apparently bidding on it. A handbag for €8.5 million. And very quickly, if you want to get yourself a Birkin bag, which are about 12,000, to buy one. You can't just go in and buy one. Oh no, you have to prove to Hermes that you are worthy of owning one of these bags by, they will look at what you've bought previously in the collection. You have to match the 12 grand with 12 grand spent. So you have to buy the collection. But also, it's not just how much you buy, it's what you buy. And if you don't buy tastefully, you can't have an Hermes bag. I mean, that's just, it's outrageous. And as somebody who works in that industry and knows that industry well, I'm frankly appalled. I'm not going to lie. So 8.5 million for a Birkin bag. Go and enjoy the beach. Bring your ice creams. Splash out. There's people spending nearly 9 million on handbags. Anyway,